Must be Friday. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And this program, this program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, to which I say, Alvin! Dude, how did you know I was going there? We're like an old married couple, Alvin and I. He knew. He's finishing my sentences. To which I say, All right, so let me set it up for you. We're going to front load. I've got three interviews, and they're all in the first half of the program. And that's good, because the back half of a Friday program is always busy. Let me get you started. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. I need you to hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. I need you to email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. On the other side of the glass, they're smashing caffeine. Look at Hawk. Hawk told me yesterday he's gone to intermittent fasting. He has to drop 20 pounds before the next marathon, but he's already lost four. All right, so let me set the show up for you on this Friday. I've got a recap of Thursday Night Football, as you know. Coming up next segment, we'll talk some football with the head coach at USF, Jeff Scott. In hour number two, we'll go back to back. San Diego State head basketball coach, Brian Dutcher. Right after that, the head basketball coach at Dayton, Anthony Grant. Then we're open to the top of the third hour. Alvy's week that was in the third hour. The ATP in the third hour. And I want to talk about episode 108 of the Jim Rome podcast, starring Danny DeVito. Jumanji drops tonight. So all that's coming up. Let me start with a recap of last night's game, and I want to start by saying there was only one reason to watch that game last night. One reason to watch Jets-Ravens. Well, actually, two reasons. Oh, wait a minute, it's Friday. The flight deck's here! What's up, James Kelly? There's something I have to admit to you. The way my studio is set up, and this is an amazing admission on my part, the way my studio is set up, I've got camera, monitor, monitor, camera, monitor, monitor, monitor. My view of his gigantic head is blocked. So I sometimes forget he's here. But I try to acknowledge that off the top on Friday. When the flight deck shows up, it's like a holiday. This guy's head is like a national treasure. He's here. And if your point is, damn, Rome, you can't see his head behind the monitor. How big is that monitor? It's huge. And so is his head. And he nailed last night's game, by the way. Should have brought him on.
That's right.
That's right. Flight deck. So last night's game, there were two reasons to watch that game. And you notice how I stopped on that point. One of the reasons reminded me of the big head, James Kelly. Two reasons to watch that game last night. Ravens and Jets. Number one, you got down. You bet that game. The other reason, and the other reason is not because the Jets had a chance, because they did not. Not because that game would be close. It was not. The only reason you watched that game last night was because of Lamar Jackson. And he delivered again, because that's what he does. After Mark Ingram opened up the scoring with a TD in the first quarter, Lamar went to work. Touchdown to Miles Boykin.
First and goal. Jackson rolls out to the right. Pumps once. Steps up. Slings it. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. Miles Boykin.
Lamar doing work. Touchdown to Mark Andrews.
Jackson throws. End zone. Mark Andrews makes the catch, and he's in for the touchdown.
Touchdown to Hollywood Brown.
Lamar Jackson going to the end zone. Hollywood Brown is there. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Hollywood Brown.
Touchdown to Seth Roberts.
Mark Jackson on second down. Wants to throw. Goes to the end zone. Looks for Seth Roberts and delivers a dime. Touchdown, Seth Roberts.
Touchdown, Mark Ingram.
Jackson takes a snap. Spins to the right. Throws complete. Ingram at the five. Ingram leaps. Ingram in. Touchdown, Mark Ingram.
Touchdown, Van Smack. I mean, at that point, why not? This guy is spreading it all around. 15 of 23, 212 yards, 5 touchdown passes, 8 carries, 86 yards. So he breaks Michael Vick's single-season rushing record, and that was an afterthought because of how he was slinging it. Like, there's nothing more tired than non-football coaches and players talking about spinning it or throwing dimes. But my guy was spinning it and throwing dimes. And if you think that he's still just a running quarterback, I'm not going to say that last night should have answered that question. Because if you thought he was still a running quarterback at this point in the season, you're a moron. And you're missing an amazing show. He leads the league in touchdown passes by 7. And if your response to that is, well, he's played one more game than anybody else, then you really are a next-level imbecile. This guy's got 7 games with 3 touchdown passes. He's got 3 games with 5 touchdown passes, 1 away from Peyton Manning's record. So we were way past the point of saying, not bad for a wide receiver, not bad for a running back, because it's all damn good for a quarterback. Like, so good, he's doing things that have never been done by anybody who's ever played the position. Breaking Vic's rushing record and having a look at one of Peyton's passing records in the same season, is that any good? This is why he is your MVP. Not in the conversation, not leading the field. He is the MVP right now. You can give him the hardware anytime you want, because as well as everybody else, or some other guys have played, and some dudes have played incredibly well, put up really big numbers, they just have the bad luck of doing it at the same time that Lamar Jackson is doing what he's doing. This guy could sit out the rest of the regular season, and he's still your MVP. So give him the award right now. And as I've said before, the most amazing thing about Lamar Jackson is not what he does, it's what he could do. The fact that he's appointment television. You know, like the phrase FOMO is ultra lame. Like, I hate it. But he is the epitome of that. FOMO, fear of missing out. Even in a blowout, you can't turn the game off. Not as long as Jackson is still in that game. The final score was 42-21. It wasn't even that close. That game was over at halftime. But like he's done numerous times during the season, you stick around because you might see something that you have never seen before. And you did. It paid off if you stuck around. Like when he kept the offense on the field for 4th and 1 from their own 29 in the third quarter.
Jackson will throw a deep ball caught by Mark Andrews down the sideline and out of bounds at the 35.
If you turned it off, you missed that. 4th and 1 from his own 29. And how about that touchdown pass to Seth Roberts? Go ahead and run that back in the event that you missed it.
2nd down and 20 now. The pass to the end zone. Caught for the touchdown. Baltimore, Seth Roberts.
Notice that I've only mentioned the team that they were playing once so far. Because it was almost like that team wasn't even there, which is a good thing. I mean, normally, if you're talking about a Thursday night game involving the New York Jets, I'm going to find something else to do. Maybe read a book, watch a movie, work a crossword puzzle, something I don't think I've ever actually done. I mean, something, anything. Anything other than wasting my time watching the New York Jets. I see those 5 words, New York Jets, Thursday night. I'm going to pull Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to throw on my orange leather pants, and I'm going to hit the lanes, unless they're playing the Ravens. The Ravens are so good, they made a Jets game watchable. On a night when they won the AFC North, I'm going to say that's their greatest accomplishment. They made a Jets game watchable. They've ripped off 10 in a row. They won the division. They're doing things they've never done before, like getting me to watch a Jets game. Like, we all have our own code, our own value system, our own ethos. Mine includes never, ever watch the Jets play. Except when they play the Ravens. Because the Ravens are not only good, they're not only Super Bowl good, man, they're fun. They're a blast. They're likable. You know, there have been other teams that were good, Super Bowl good, but they were just miserable. No names mentioned, but they allegedly like to make documentaries about advanced scouts. Like, they make life a humorless grind. Nobody has any fun. Nobody cracks a smile. Hell, no one's even allowed to talk. That's not the Ravens. Unlike those other teams, the Ravens are a blast. Even if you're a fan of the opposing team, you have to admit it. They're so likable, you don't have to be miserable trolls to play the game. Man, it's a game. It's like living a dream. It should be fun. And they are fun. You shouldn't just stick around for the second half of a blowout either. You should stick around for the post-game interview. Normally, the post-game interview is fine. And that's about as good as it gets, right? It's fine. If it's fine, you're lucky. With a few exceptions, you might get a Steve Smith. You might get that. You might get a Steve Smith.
89, bottom line.
You might get a Bart Scott.
Can't wait.
Then it's memorable. It's rare, but you might get that. You might even get Aaron Rodgers, who had some really good post-game interviews. But in general, the best that you can hope for is it's all right. It's all right. It's okay. But again, not with the Ravens. And not last night, because that post-game interview last night was a blast with Lamar and Mark Ingram and a cameo from Matthew Judon.
We've already established he doesn't like talking about himself. You love hyping this guy up. Threw for 5 touchdowns, the 3rd time this season. Go.
Man, he's special, man. I've been telling y'all since I don't know how many weeks ago that he's the MVP frontrunner. But now I'm going to tell y'all he is the MVP. You know what I mean? He's great. He does everything necessary to be a great QB. Puts it all on the line for his teammates, humble, and we blessed, man. We thankful, we happy for him, and we just going to keep going.
Ran for a touchdown, caught a touchdown. Someone suggested I give you the mic and you ask a question. You want to go ahead?
Freaky L, a.k.a. Action Jackson, a.k.a. Era 8 Apparel. Listen, my dog. Hey, Judon, hit him. Hey, crank, crank. All right, L, man, you broke Mike Vick's rushing record, man. You the AFC North champions for the 2nd year in a row. How it feel, man? Tell me how it feel, El Freaky.
It feel good, but you know, we got a lot of season left to play, and we got 2 more banners to hang up.
So you're telling me the story unwritten?
Unwritten right now.
Book unfinished.
Right.
Congratulations, brother, on breaking Mike's Vick record and being the GOAT, the MVP that you are.
Appreciate it, bro. Love you.
Hey, man, Thursday Night Football in America, back to you in the studio.
Mark Ingram. If you need him, and everybody does, everybody needs a wingman like Mark Ingram. Man, I don't care what you do. You need somebody like that in your corner, hyping you up, getting you fired up, and you need Matthew Judon in the background dancing. Who doesn't want that crew?
Hey, crank, crank, all right, L.
Crank, crank, freaky L. I've got more thoughts on that. That was my favorite part of the night. Well, not really. The 5 TDs that he threw. Might have been my favorite part of the night, but that was a good way to end it. More thoughts on his crew and how it compares to my crew and why we all want a crew. That's coming up. But quick timeout. USF Bulls head football coach Jeff Scott joins me when we return. If you need crank, crank. If you need a last-minute gift this holiday season, O'Reilly Auto Parts has got you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, such as a digital tire gauge, 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, even a universal backup camera, or you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at only $19.99, not to mention gift cards for that hard to shop for person on your list. You can even buy gifts online and then pick them up at the nearest O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Take the stress out of holiday shopping. Head on over to O'ReillyAuto.com. Place your order for convenient pickup in store. O'Reilly Auto Parts has thousands of quality parts and accessories in stock. You can shop from your phone, tablet, or computer and then pick them up when it's convenient for you. And with more than 5,000 stores nationwide, there is an O'Reilly Auto Parts store near you with friendly professional parts people who can have your order ready and waiting. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Back to you in the studio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Good little Alvy getting loose. Phone lines are open nationwide. Shoot your shot. Telephone call is coming up, but we're joined right now by the head football coach at USF. He was named head coach on December 9th. He was the co-offense coordinator at Clemson since 2015. 5 ACC titles, 2 national titles since being named co-offensive coordinator. USF is coming off a 4-8 season. Their head coach is Jeff Scott. He joins us. Jeff, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you are.
I'm doing great, Jeff. I'm curious. So you were named head coach on Monday, introduced on Wednesday. What has the week been like for you and your family?
It's been exactly what you think that it would be like. It's been a full speed ahead, but it's the biggest thing. It's been unbelievable, the energy and the excitement. As soon as I stepped off that plane on Tuesday, you know, I was really just overwhelmed by the people here in Tampa, the people at University of South Florida. You know, they're hungry for a winning program. They're hungry for a vision. And it's just been awesome to experience what I've been able to experience the last few days.
I can hear it. I can feel it. Jeff Scott joining us. So when you've had the success that you've had at Clemson, your name's obviously going to come up for a lot of jobs. Before we get into what made this one feel like the right one, how did you go about handling that process in the past?
Yeah, well, I've leaned on some people that I looked up to. Obviously, Coach Dabo Swinney is a mentor of mine. I've been along his side for the last 12 years, actually replaced him as the wide receivers coach when he got the Battlefield promotion to head coach on October 13, 2008. So for those last 12 years being around him, he's someone that I really look up to. And as there's been opportunities that maybe have been presented over the last few years, you know, he would always tell me just to be patient, wait on the right one. And when he got contacted by South Florida, you know, his words to me was, hey, this is the job you want. This is a place you can win. And a great conference, a great city, great people. Let's go get this. And when I heard that, it just got me really excited. And really, from that point on, I had my eyes set on Tampa.
We're talking to Jeff Scott. You know, you just, in a way, you answered part of my next question. I was going to say the story goes that late one night last week, the phone did ring, and it's Dabo. What do you remember about the conversation, and what kind of emotions were you feeling when you put that phone down that time?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I answered the phone, and you know, 11:45 at night, I was trying to figure out which one of my players maybe got in a little bit of trouble. And he said, "What you doing, boy?" And I said, "Well, Coach, I'm, you know, at home, just got home, getting ready to go to bed." He's like, "You're not going to believe who just called me." He said, "Michael Kelly, athletic director at South Florida, called me, and they want to talk to you to be their head coach." And then I just paused because, again, you know, it's important to me to kind of understand what Coach Sweeney's feelings were. And right out his mouth, he said, "This is one of those jobs you want." And that was really from that point on. That was all I needed to hear. And he was telling me, you know, about the area, obviously the recruiting base, the potential of this school, relatively new program. It's a program I've kind of had my eye on for a while as I've been down here recruiting, you know, the last 12 years for Clemson. And really, to be honest, from that point on Monday night, I really felt like this was going to happen. And it's just, I've had an ultimate peace about it through the entire process. The overwhelming support by everybody back at Clemson, you know, they feel like they're sending one of their own down here to Tampa to try to kind of spread what we have up there at Clemson. And that's meant just as much as the energy and excitement by the people here in Tampa.
South Florida head football coach Jeff Scott is joining us. You know, you mentioned that when Dabo was promoted from receivers coach to interim coach, you then became the receivers coach. Looking back on that, what was that transition like for you?
Yeah, it was a great experience. First of all, you know, just the excitement of that moment, getting a Battlefield promotion, understanding in this profession how hard it is to get a full-time job. So, you know, we were 3-3 at the time. We had 6 games left. You know, Coach Sweeney said, "Hey, I don't know if I really have a chance to get this job, but if we do a great job and win at least 4 or 5 games, I'll have a chance." And I remember going home that night and telling my wife all about it. I was so excited. And across the ticker there on the TV that night, I'll never forget it to this day, it said, "Clemson wide receivers coach Dabo Swinney named interim head coach today." 0 of the last 29 mid-season interim head coaches went on to be named full-time head coach.
Incredible.
And so I looked at my wife and I said, "Hey, 1 out of 30. Them ain't bad odds right there." So literally that's where – you know, where it started from, that really a tryout coach to where he's built Clemson now. And, you know, but I had a lot of belief in Coach Sweeney just being around him. He had an unbelievable spirit, vision, and to be able to get those players to buy in a short amount of time to really change our season around to get that job. And then what's happened over the last 11 years, you know, that's a very valuable experience. For me, and obviously has helped prepared me for this opportunity here at South Florida.
Jeff Scott's the head football coach at South Florida. In fact, to that point, it's not the same situation, but I'm always interested in that first meeting that a new coach has with a new team. And one of the things that you did with each player was have them introduce themselves and say their high school. Why was that important to you, and what was your overall message to your players?
Yeah, well, you know, number one, you know, I wanted the players to know that for me it's about a personal relationship. You know, I'm coming from a culture where we as the coaches truly care about that young man more as a person than maybe what he can do on the football field. So in my first introduction, I wanted to know a little bit about him. Obviously, what's your name, but where are you from? And maybe try to find a way to make a connection. It was amazing. Probably over half of them, I've recruited their high school. I knew their high school coach, or I knew somebody off their team that maybe I recruited to Clemson or somewhere else. And so just trying to make that connection and let them know right off the bat that, you know, my relationship with them is something that I'm going to value, and that's going to be a major part of, you know, trying to change the maybe culture and energy to be something that can help us lead to a championship program.
We're talking to Jeff Scott for a few more moments. Jeff, go back to wide receivers, or the topic of wide receivers, because the list that you've coached is pretty unreal. DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Mike Williams, Hunter Renfrow, T. Higgins, and more. They're all different players with different games. But as you look at them, do they have traits that are common that make them great?
Yeah, you know, they do. And each of those guys, like you said, are a little bit different body size and skill set. But number one, each of those guys you mentioned truly came to Clemson with a burning desire to be great. They had a vision for what they could be as a player, and they were willing to put in the work and had very little issues, if any, off the field. They definitely were willing to put the work in the weight room and on the field and you know, just were different. You know, they just separated themselves from a lot of the other guys maybe in the room because of their mindset and their work ethic. And, you know, I think that, you know, T. Higgins is a young man there at Clemson now that's a junior. And I think he's going to be that next premier guy that's going to go into that top group and hopefully give us four first-rounders in the last 6 or 7 years.
All right, so finally, what does a Jeff Scott USF team look and feel like?
Yeah, it's going to be a group that of guys that are having fun playing this game, that are passionate, that are full speed, great energy, and they're loving what they're doing. And people want to be a part of that. And, again, that's all I know from where I've been. You know it when you see it. You know it when you don't. But, you know, I think just the energy and the enthusiasm and togetherness that really is maybe different than a lot of the other programs and teams that we'll be playing.
He is the head football coach at USF, 5 ACC titles and a couple of national championships while at Clemson. And USF's got their guy. Jeff, great to have you on the show. Appreciate the energy. Appreciate the conversation. Good luck, and I know we'll do it again.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, Jim.
You got it, Jeff. Thank you very much. Well done. You can see why they're excited about him, and you can see why he's excited about them, and you can see whereby he spent some time with Dabo. All right, so USF, you fans, what do you think about your new coach? 1-800-636-8686. The Bulls have a new head coach. It is Jeff Scott. I like that energy. All right, so we're open next segment. Then we go back-to-back at the top of the hour. So now is the time to get through. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait about an hour. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. We talked about the Ravens. I want to talk about the Jets. There was this scene after the game where a few of the Jets went to Lamar Jackson, wanted a jersey, and now some old school wannabe tough guys that are fans of the Jets are all pissed and all bent about how the game has changed. I've got a little bit different take on that. My thoughts coming up in a minute, but I've got a sports update for you right here. Here you go. Brad Heller has this one.
It's the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
ATP Friday. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So you want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so Clemson loses a really good assistant coach in Jeff Scott. But Dabo Swinney made that call. I love the way he told that story. What are you doing, boy? It's 11:45 at night, coach, getting ready to fall out. You'll never believe who just called me. So USF has their guy, tough loss for Clemson, but that's going to happen. When you're Dabo Swinney and you've got the kind of staff that he has, you are going to lose quality coaches. Brian Dutcher, top of the hour, Anthony Grant next hour. And I want to finish my thought on Mark Ingram and how awesome I thought he was. I mean, never mind the way he runs it. Never mind the physicality he brings to it, the intensity he brings to it. I love this guy's just juice and energy and the fact that he is the ultimate wingman. Again, everybody needs a winger like Mark Ingram.
Freaky L, a.k.a. Action Jackson, a.k.a. Era A Apparel.
You can tell it's amazing to me about Lamar Jackson, and I'll get into this when I get into this notion of some of the Jets asking him for his jersey. People love this guy. People admire this guy. People respect this guy. But I mean, even a guy as accomplished as Mark Ingram doesn't want to talk about anything other than Freaky L and the fact that he should have the MVP. And if you've got a problem with that, go to Mark Ingram. He has said that a number of times. Everybody needs a guy like that. Now, none of us are like Lamar, but we all need a guy like Mark Ingram. You also need Matthew Judon in the background dancing. Who doesn't want that crew? I'll give you an example. The XR4TI crew, my crew, is a result of that very thing. And I never thought that I'd be worthy of having a crew or a posse. However, in fact, it never even dawned on me. Like, I can't roll like that. Who would even want to represent me? And it never dawned on me until way back in the day. I used to have Mike Bibby on this show. And I love Mike Bibby. I was always a huge Mike Bibby guy. Loved him as a guy. Loved him as a player. But then one day I saw his crew. Because there was this amazing article written about Mike Bibby. I want to say in the New York Times. And it talked about his crew. His posse. Whatever you want to call it. And they were Team Dime. And I met some members of Team Dime back in the day. And I love these guys. Love the crew. Love the guy. And I saw it. And I admired it. And I wanted it. I admit it. I wanted something like that. Now, I had to do it on a much smaller scale because I didn't have Mike Bibby resources. Mike Bibby money. As an example, in the article, I remember one of the guys in the crew said, and I quote, "Mike gets an Escalade. We all get an Escalade." I don't roll deep like that. I could not do that. I mean, I loved it. I just couldn't afford it. So instead, I went with the XR4TI. You know, kind of like Vance Mack gets a cup of coffee. We all get a cup of coffee. Except old man Ike. Look at him smashing that hot chocolate right now. Vance Mack gets a cup of coffee. We all get a cup of coffee. Except for old man Ike, who is the only guy above the age of 7, and he's like 87, and he still drinks hot chocolate. Literally. Look at him. So, I wanted what Mike Bibby had. I want what Lamar has. Not his mad game, not the mad shakes, not the mad athleticism, not even the mad bank account. I want the mad crew. I want wingers like Ingram and Judon. Instead, what do I get? Hawk and Ike. Oh, well. Shoot for the moon. Hit a small tree. Hit a shrub. Hit nothing. Something like that. I love Ingram for the way he plays, but I love the guy even more for the way he loves his dude.
Listen, my dog. Hey, Judon, hit him. Hey, crank. All right, L. Man, you broke Mike Vick's rushing record, man. You the AFC North champions for the second year in a row. How it feel, man? Tell me how it feel, L. Freaky.
It feel good, but you know, we got a lot of season left to play. And we got two more banners to hang up.
So you telling me the story unwritten?
Unwritten right now.
Book unfinished.
Right.
Congratulations, brother, on breaking Mike's Vic record and being the GOAT, the MVP that you are.
Appreciate it, bro. Love you, bro.
Hey, man, Thursday Night Football in America. Back to you in the studio.
So this is why, like, he's not clowning, but he's having fun with it. And Lamar doesn't even break format. Doesn't break stride. Like, he's all business. Just want the win. Just want the win. Just about the team. Just about the team. And this guy's like, Freakio, Freakio. And so, again, I don't want to make it about me, but I start thinking about me and my crew. What am I left with? Hey, Freaky Ike. Freaky Eye. Freaky Eye. How's that hot chocolate? Tell me, my man. Tell me, my dude. How are those Skittles? Freaky Eye.
Hey, Crank. 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 Crank.
Hey, I. Hey, Ike. Hey, Dwight. Mr. President. How is that hot chocolate? What about those fake little marshmallows on top?
Freaky L.
Freaky I. Ike. It's Rit.
It's Lit.
I can't get enough. Hey, by the way, he found Danny DeVito. Somebody I've never spoken to. That's why he's Freaky I. Because he does freaky things like that. I had never spoken to Danny DeVito. He got Danny DeVito. That's our podcast, Ep 108. Just like I can't get enough of Freaky Eye, I cannot get enough of the Ravens overall. I can't get enough of the Ravens, and I can't get any less of the Jets. More on that coming up momentarily. How about a phone number? Phone call. You know what I can't get? I can't get a good phone call. I can get phone calls. I have them. Just not a good phone call. Not one that's going to make the show better. Is it you? How about a golden ticket in the middle of nowhere? Wouldn't that be great? At the end of the week, and I'm working next week, and then that's that. Oh, by the way, Adam Hawk, go ahead and throw those things on. We got a year in review. Why don't you bring me up today? You and Alvy have been working on your year in review.
Yeah, we're ready. Well, almost ready to go.
You guys are probably in March right now, right?
Yeah, which is where a lot of clones think the show will end.
Alvin thought that was funny because it's true.
Right.
See, that's right.
That's right. Are you guys at March?
Yes, but this show produces a lot of great moments. So there is a quite the editorial process on figuring out what's going to make the cut. And then from there, more and more stuff gets cut. And we've got 3 hours minus commercials to get in a year's worth of sound. It's not easy.
You know, for a guy who didn't even graduate high school, you work awfully hard to sound smart.
When it comes to radio, I feel like I know what I'm talking about. You know,
you're the valedictorian when it comes to radio,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
This is my arena.
All right. So a week from today, are we going to go year in review?
Absolutely.
100%. Is that not our last show of the year? A week
from
today?
Our last show, Friday, December 20th, we'll do year in review. Reminder, clones, send in your Christmas cards because we will air them the week leading up to the year in review.
How do they look so far?
They look good. A lot of people have responded, which I appreciate. Mostly appropriate stuff. Rome at haveitake.com. Send me your Christmas card right now. Deadline, end of this weekend. And Sharon and the TV crew will get them up as our bump backs all next week.
Give me an example of something that's inappropriate that's not going to see the light of day. That you have received.
Somebody photoshopped a crank hanging out of Larry Brown's towel.
No way.
In front of a Christmas tree.
Wow, I'm shocked. And we can't use that.
Unfortunately, we cannot use that. I'm not going to lie, I laughed.
Right in my face.
But I then deleted it.
Okay, there it is. A week from today, thank you very much. Adam. Adam Hawk, you got to get through him to get to me, and you've got to get your Christmas card through him to get it on the air, and then he forwards it back to New York. If you have a tasteful, responsible, usable digital card, send your pictures and we will turn. Actually, it's not even a card. Send your pics and we will turn them into digital holiday cards. I am also quite aware that Lionel Richie went on with Kelly Clarkson and had a conversation about Stevie Wonder. I am well aware of this.
So let's talk Stevie Wonder, because I know y'all are friends. Do y'all, like, literally hang out all the time? And, like,
Stevie is probably, I'm going to tell you something. I've been spending my whole life with him thinking he can see. I know he can see. He can see. Listen, the story I tell that's the funniest, I went to his house. He says, want to hear a new song? I've got it in the car. Come on, go with me. We go out to the car. He says, you sit on the passenger side. I'll sit on the driver's side. He goes in. He cranks the car up. He puts the tape in, right? And then he does this. And starts driving back down the driveway.
No, sir.
And I screamed, said, Stevie, what are you doing? And he said, ah, got you, didn't I? But...
Good one, Lionel. Great. Another Stevie Wonder truther. I saw that and I thought to myself, great, man, there goes my show. Doesn't matter how hard I work this thing. It doesn't matter who I book. It doesn't matter how sharp my takes are. It doesn't matter what happened last night. It doesn't matter what's going to happen this weekend in the NFL. It doesn't matter what's going to happen at UFC 245. Literally nothing happens. Because Lionel Richie, of all people, got on with Kelly Clarkson and threw that card. The I know Stevie can see card. And sure enough, it's dragging me down and wrecking my show. Dear Jim, I am looking forward to seeing the next USF season. Signed, Stevie Wonder. Dear Jim, Hawk needs to drop 20 LBs. I don't see that happening, but I see everything else. Sign Stevie. Brett from Buggahaw, vindicated truther. So, this guy's like the worst clone. Like, Lionel Richie's up there like, oh, check this out. I got a joke. Like, when you go on those shows, what they do is the producers will get on the phone with you prior to being on the show, and they'll say things like, what have you been up to? What have you been doing? Got any good stories? Like, they want anecdotes. They want you comfortable. They want you to be able to sell something. And I'm sure Lionel Richie was like, oh, I got one for you. Check this out. Stevie Wonder, not blind. Never has been. I got proof. Now, every idiot that I've tried to quell over the years and to get this out of the show completely has been empowered. Or to quote Brett, vindicated. At 1 for 3, C1 tweets, Jim, my ethos is never to watch a Jets game either. Signed, Stevie Wonder. Lionel Richie. Hey, Lionel, you happy with yourself? You shouldn't be. I'm not happy with you. How about the other Commodores, man? Guarantee they're not happy with you. Brick house, bro. Brick house, glass house. Pauly T. Wall tweets, I watched the entire Thursday night game. Not for Lamar Jackson, but because I could. Thanks, Stevie. I said there's only one reason to watch that game. Actually, two. One, you bet on it. Two, Lamar Jackson. This guy's like, no, neither. I didn't watch it because I bet. I didn't watch it because of Lamar. Hey, Rome, you say it yourself all the time. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. Signed, Stevie. I watched that game because, well, Rome, the same reason anybody does anything. Because they can. I can see, damn it. You know that so-called long con? Do you really think this guy could keep that up that long? I mean, it's one thing to throw on the glasses and break out the cane and fake it for a day or two or maybe a week. His whole life? Yeah, good job, Lionel. Thanks for nothing. Wasn't even funny to begin with, Lionel. And believe me, it's not funny to me. I'm trying to talk sports here. When we come back, I've got back-to-back interviews. We are talking college basketball with Brian Dutcher and Anthony Grant back-to-back. Not a moment too soon. Truthers, stay with it. Alvy's week that was in hour number 3. Don't go anywhere.